Good morning and welcome to For Fantasy's Sake, the Quad City's first and only fantasy football show. We are sponsored, as always, by Mobile Party Experience. I am your host, Doug Green. He is DJ Jarvis. The guy in Grandma's sweater is Michael Ciccoli. And I don't have any other witty things to say this morning because I am tired and I am already tired of winter. So we have history this morning. Deed, why is this important?
I believe what you're getting at is this is the very first Week 17 show in For Fantasy's Sake history.
That is exactly what I'm getting at.
It's also your first Sunday slate show on the very new For Fantasy's Sake QC podcast network. So next time you see us on this show, on a Sunday main slate show, we'll have a new name. We'll be fancy because we can no longer be For Fantasy's Sake because For Fantasy's Sake is now a podcast network.
Oh, is that what we're doing? Things that I learned.
Yeah, it's not important for me to tell you things.
Yeah, considering I'm the guy that sets up all of the how things are branded and marketed. Sure. Okay.
You also have a hostile attitude for a championship.
I've been up for like 20 minutes.
I've been up for far too long. Slept for about 20 hours yesterday trying to sleep away this cold. It did not work. Can't sleep away ugly and can't sleep away colds.
You're doubly screwed.
I know. I was staying late. I couldn't get over my fantasy matchups. You know, I got a couple championships on the line today. I was up and tossing and turning. I was trying to make all the lineup decisions all at 1 a.m. It's not going well.
What's biggest for me, the one league where I made the championship, I'm playing probably number one fan, Jordan Rangelin, who dispatched me last week in a league where I had won six straight titles. So it's my revenge game.
Okay. Again, up for 20 minutes. All right, so let's start with quarterbacks and tight ends because DJ has completely redone what we normally do. Joe Burrow versus the Chiefs. Michael, do you have faith in the angry young man this week?
It's tough not to. I mean, after what Joe Burrow did last week, he put on a cloak, he threw a for over 100 yards against the Ravens, and that, you know, the Ravens secondary isn't all that, but, you know, the Chiefs have been beat at times and they've been better of late. But Joe Burrow, I mean, he's a locked in starter. I'm not sure what type of player you have where you're benching Joe Burrow for him, but he's hitting his stride. He's going to be airing it out against KC. They're at home in a game that they need to win to secure the division, which is very important. So yeah, I mean, Joe Burrow is a fantastic start this week. I think you'll play him in DFS. I think you'll play him in your championship rounds.
What are you realistically expecting out of Burrow this week? Is this a top five play, top 10 play? I know I think that Fantasy Pros, he's a QB8 this week. I think Fantasy Pros has him QB8 overall. I think Fantasy Pros had him QB9 this week.
I'd be expecting top 8 production. He's probably around my QB7 range, but I would, you know, it's, and obviously that means that there are players that would play ahead of him, but not typically ones that you also have on the same roster as Joe Burrow. So
sure.
I'm expecting a 20 to 25 point display. He has a ceiling for a much higher one, which it's nice with players like Burrow where, you know, the floor is decently high and, you know, the ceiling is through the roof. So that's exactly what I want in my week 17. Week 17. That's funny.
Yeah, it's a funny thing to think that we're walking in week 17. It's January 2nd, and we're talking fantasy football championships. I mean, usually every year prior to this, you're racing out to find a new commissioner because he's making you play fantasy championships in week 17. Or she, I guess there's female commissioners who make bad decisions as well.
It feels good, honestly, to get the extra week of football. But I do miss – I have to get used to it because it used to be lined up with Christmas. And now it's lined up with New Year's. And it's just a whole different holiday swap. But, you know, little things.
Yeah, no, all in all,
excited.
In my family, like traditionally, you know, you'd hand off the trophy to the new champion on Christmas, and now we won't know who the champion of most leagues are until January 4th.
January 4th is just as amazing of a day, I've heard. You know, it's, I think we should honestly, I think it's for the better, all right? Now hear me out. I think this is a real opportunity to create a fantasy football holiday, you know? Where in the past it was covered up by Christmas, but there could be a set day where that winner gets their money, where that bag gets given, handed over, the trophy gets lifted. January 4th, the world rejoices. Where 11 people in a league don't rejoice, but... I don't know. I think there's some real room for potential there.
You never know, literally, when you say 11 people in the rejoice. It might be a situation where people just dislike the way a certain owner does things or the way they're trash talk and they're happy that this guy lost.
We wouldn't know anybody like that.
I am that person. I am.
Yeah, I'm generally that person too. It's okay.
I'm the villain in almost all my leagues. Oh. People enjoy me when I lose, but that's besides
the point. Somebody has to be the bad guy.
Yeah, listen, it unites people. I'm fine with it. I'm all about bringing people together. All right, and that is, you know, my second highest goal in life outside of winning fantasy football championships.
Bring people together.
Yeah, you know, sure. Kumbaya.
Okay.
We have already gotten off the rails.
Yeah, that one's tight. I'm like, I can't even get us back there. All right. Next up. How do you feel about Trey Lance today? Starting the rookie with minimal experience, putting your championship on the line with him as your signal caller.
Against Houston, it's hard not to trust somebody against Houston for how bad they've been, but man, if I've got the trophy on the line, it's got to be awful hard to say I'm firing up a Trey Lance to win all the monies for me.
I mean, yeah, it all comes down to where that cutoff is, where I'm firing up Trey Lance as a QB1 this week. I'm expecting a good week from Trey Lance. We saw he put up 20 fantasy points and a half because of that rushing output he has, that rushing touchdown, you know, where we used to see with Prime Cam, where once they get to the goal line, you know, it used to be Jeff Wilson. I don't think Jeff Wilson is keeping that role. I don't know if they're throwing Elijah Mitchell in there. They're going to have Trey Lance leap over that. And he's going to be running up and down the field. He's got the arm. And it won't be pretty as a passer. He'll throw interceptions, but he'll get it done on the ground. But it all comes down to the better options. We'll get into it with QBs. But I think he's going to have a very solid week. I think he's a very good DFS play as well. So I'm sure we're going to get into it as well.
All right. So let's pretend stack roster. You have every quarterback known to man. You've probably already won the championship. It doesn't matter who you start. But I'm going to throw a couple names out here at you. Trey Lance or Russell Wilson?
Trey Lance.
Trey Lance or Ryan Tannehill?
Trey Lance.
Trey Lance or Joe Burrow?
Joe Burrow. Okay. And that's where I draw the line.
Dak Prescott or Trey Lance?
I'd go Dak Prescott. That's a tougher one, though, for me. Yeah. And it's right there in the chat. So I tend to lean with Dak Prescott. I understand the trepidation and the desire to play a guy like, Trey Lance. But against Arizona, gives me the same type of shootout type of vibes. And I'll take the guy that's at least gotten it done on a more consistent basis.
Trey Lance or Taysom Hill?
Say Taysom Hill?
Yeah.
I'd go Trey Lance.
All right. We agree on the majority of those. So. Yeah, I think – so we're expecting Trey Lance QB1, where we're starting him without it, unless we have, you know, Allen, Mahomes, Brady, those studs, but.
Pretty much. And this is why everyone drafted Trey Lance in their redrafts. You know, it was for their Week 17 championship matchup against Houston. So we finally get to reap the benefits of those people who have held him for 17 weeks or picked him up this week, where if he's on your wire – you should probably pick him up just in case your other, you know, your competitor wants to pivot or something. He's a very good option. So, you know, a good option shouldn't be on the wire, regardless of whether you're going to play him or not.
Right. Better on your bench than in your opponent's lineup.
Yeah. No, there's still a chance someone pregame injuries. They happen. They're the worst thing ever, but they happen. You know, maybe they need to pick someone up. Trey Lance is right there. It's an easy plug and play. You can prevent that. Because, you know, Derrick Henry's not winning a championship right now.
Correct.
All right. Do you have rankings this week, Donald? Or
I don't.
Oh, no, okay. So we're doing this the hard way. Oh, all right. So next up on the shot sheet, what are you doing with the Gronk?
You're forgiving and forgetting. Honestly, I as someone who bought into him as a contender, he's really let you down the last couple of weeks, single digits both times, which is strange because all the other weapons totally disappeared. But, 8.7 in week 14, 3.9 week 15, 2.8 week 16. But he gets to travel to familiar territory, New York, against the Jets, where he owned the Jets for a decade. And the Jets have been abysmal against the tight end this year. So I think Gronk is in for a nice bounce back. I think you have to let him, you have to play him this week. I don't, outside of the elite top ones, I'm not benching Gronk. I'm riding and dying with that.
All right, same kind of game with Trey Lance. Here we go. Gronk or Dawson Knox?
I'd go Gronk.
Gronk or Dallas Goedert?
I'm making that decision right now, and I've decided Gronk. That's in one of my lineups. I'm playing them both, actually. But
you're going all in on Gronk this week.
The Jets have really struggled against the tight end this year, and that's not going to change against a guy that knows them in and out. Between Brady and Gronk, the odds that Gronk doesn't see the target share he was seeing when all those weapons disappear on a consistent basis, that just seems too low to me. I think the odds that he doesn't put up a double-digit points this week for the fourth week in a row is low enough that you have to line him up there.
So is the only guys you're not playing Gronk over Kelce, Andrews, and Kittle?
Yeah, probably. Maybe my tight end four in the week. I mean, there's not many guys with the opportunity for double-digit targets, two-plus touchdowns. That's all in Gronk's realm of outcomes. I don't think you can say the same for Dawson Knox, where I don't think he can see 10 targets. I don't think that's possible this week.
Interesting.
And that's not to say you can't play Dawson Knox.
No, I know. Is there anybody who you view as that at tight end as Gronk, your tight end league winner? Is he a guy, if you don't have those other three guys, you're going to see him in a lot of lineups?
Outside of Gronk, I do think Dallas Goedert has a good week. One of my big decisions this week in my home dynasty league with a lot riding on it is, do I play Dallas Goedert or do I play Devin Singletary against Atlanta? And I'm playing Dallas Goedert right now because I think Goddard's a good player where he had two really strong weeks in a row. And then last week just didn't happen. A touchdown callback on an offensive holding, another touchdown where Jalen Hurts just didn't see him wide open in the end zone. And that latter bit can happen again. The holding one's just a little bit, flip floppy. So I think Goddard was a one play away from making, 3 weeks of 20 points, 3 weeks of 15 points. So I do think Goddard's a really good play this week.
I was grateful for Jalen Hurts missing him in the corner of the end zone last week.
I was not. My game came down to Jalen Waddle not scoring 21 points. He scored 20 and a half. It was a stressful Monday night.
Well, I was playing against that guy that everybody wanted to lose last week because he crowned himself champion in week 8. And he had both Hurts and Goddard. So,
yeah, well, thankfully Jalen Hurts can't scan the field.
How'd you play against yourself?
Wow.
Just taking shots.
Doug pretty much loves to see me lose. Do you know what football fanatics in the Quad Cities love more than Doug seeing me lose? They love tailgating and partying before, during, and after their favorite college football games, including Iowa dropping their bowl game to Kentucky yesterday. That was great.
Well, how did Illinois do in their bowl game?
Central Florida beat Florida in their bowl game. That was nice. And Mobile Party Experience has the hookup for all your tailgating needs. Mobile Party Experiences offers solutions for all types of throwers, party throwers, and goers. I'm sick. Don't bother me. They have towable trailers that offer music, TVs, gaming, private bathrooms with running water, flushable toilets, beverage dispensers, coolers, grills and utensils, tables, chairs, and tents. They have all the amenities you could want or need to host a tailgate party or event. Find them at their website, my-mpx.com, or on Facebook at Mobile Party Experience. Sunday is still the best day at Kavanaugh's Hilltop Bar and Grill. While your favorite Jamokes aren't on the deck talking fantasy football, they're still one of the best places in the Quad Cities for your football viewing pleasures. Their back deck is ready to go for football season. The sides are up and the heat is on to protect you from Mother Nature, where you can enjoy the – well, nobody enjoys the Bears – where you can enjoy the Packers or any of your favorite out-of-market teams. If outside isn't your thing, I'm sure if you ask really nicely, they'll put the Bulls on for you. If outside isn't your thing, you can head on into their remodeled inside bar area and watch NFL Sunday Ticket on their numerous screens and play their adult video games. I hear they have the loosest slots in the Quad Cities. That's Kavanaugh's Hilltop Bar and Grill, 1228 30th Street, Rock Island, the non-bubble home of For Fantasy Sake. Football season, it's almost over. We're in week 17. And if you've been spending Sundays watching football anywhere but Van's Pizza Pub and Grill, you've been doing it wrong. Van's Pizza Pub and Grill, 3333 North Harrison Street in Davenport, is the best place to catch all your favorite games, and there's still time to make it part of your Sunday routine. Start your meal off with their famous McGuire's Original Nachos or Bready Nuggets. Then ask about one of their original QC-style pizzas, or be your own quarterback and call an audible and create your own. The Vans crew will be sure your play call hits pay dirt every time. Vans Pizza Pub and Grill, 3333 North Harrison Street in Davenport. Come get served. Happy 2022, Mr. Brian Craighead. Are you with us, Brian? Is he frozen?
All right. The segment off right.
Morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you.
Brian, how's your 2022 treating you so far?
So far, so good. Enjoyed some bowl games yesterday. Got a few playoffs that we're working on today. So, pretty big day in.
I think the snow got him.
I think the snow did get him. Did the snow monster get you there?
Lost me there, yeah. All I want to know is how Doug's dish turned out yesterday.
Oh, that thing was amazing. I'll package some up and ship you some over.
So, Brian, who are you stacking today?
Well, I kind of like Dak and CD, but I heard y'all talking about Trey Lance. You could go either Debo. I went Kittle, but you could go either Debo or Kittle there, I think. Those are a couple of my favorite stacks.
Do you think the rushing game with Lance looks – or with Debo looks any different with Lance at quarterback?
No, I still think Debo will have his shots. I mean, I could definitely see Lance getting plenty of carries, but at the same time, I still think Debo will get some.
I like Trey Lance as a
are defense. You doing any...
Oh, sorry.
You're fine. Go ahead.
Yeah. Trey Lance is a good play this week. He's really cheap for both DraftKings and Yahoo Fantasy. Probably one of the more higher-owned ones just because of how cheap he ended up being. But for 4,800, he's a really good play. And the nice thing about him is that I don't think you need to stack him. Because of his rushing volume, I think he could last on his own. And his value could come without throwing – two touchdowns. You could throw one touchdown and run in another one or two, and you'd be perfectly happy.
The one nice thing about Lance with that 4,800, like you said, it'll be pretty highly owned, but it allows you a lot of versatility elsewhere, which is why I like him.
Are you doing anything with Jarrett Patterson this week?
That whole offense has been kind of screwed up. I'm going to stay away from Patterson personally.
I tend to agree with that as well. That Washington situation is murky where, you know, we want Jared Patterson to be that guy, rookie out of Buffalo, but, I mean, you see Jonathan Williams take that role. You see Wendell Smallwood step up from the practice squad and take a role, and that's disgusting. I want nothing to do with that.
Yeah, even if he gets all the volume, I mean, what does that mean in that offense? So,
what are you guys looking at in that Kansas City-Cincinnati game?
Well, I mean, personally, it's all just like always. Kansas City players are always hard to stack or do much with. So I'm going a little cheaper with T. Higgins personally.
I have Travis Kelce locked into my lineup right now for DFS. Cincinnati's been awful against the tight end, and especially over the last 6 weeks. So over the last 6 weeks, Cincinnati's allowed the most points to the tight end. Travis Kelce is the greatest tight end in the league right now. So it's a facto, Travis Kelce is a great DFS play, and I'm willing to pay up for him this week.
Doesn't quite hurt.
One option for me, I mean, in my original lineup, I had Kittle going with Lance. I could always transfer over to Kelce and find room elsewhere to make that move. So not a big difference.
Also doesn't hurt this week for Kelce to go to back to his ipso facto hometown where he went to college and playing back in Cincinnati.
How does college seem?
Very good point. They didn't make much of a showing the other day, which I don't know. Even living in the SEC country, I was hoping for a little bit of a showing from him. It didn't. Both games were just awful.
My dad's a big Bama fan, and I root for Central Florida football, so I've been running my mouth for a few years, and he thinks that's going to make me shut up, but it's not.
Yeah, one thing about Alabama, they're always good. I don't dislike them, but you pretty much know they're always going to be there. So I just wanted somebody a little different.
Yeah, it helps having a college football team who starts 22 future NFL players. So,
well, that was a big thing. I mean, every time you turned on a game, it was like, oh, this guy's out. And like I was doing some Debbie this year, and we would pick games. But yesterday was kind of pointless to try to pick games. But still, Ohio State was a shocker to me. The 300-plus yards from I forget his name, but he was awesome yesterday.
Yeah, Jackson Smith is going to be an unbelievable NFL player. I am very excited for that guy.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to hear Michael talk about these guys. For those of you, so everybody who had heard this announcement, and Brian, I'm sure you'll be interested in jumping in a time or two if he needs a guy. Michael will be launching a scouting podcast here on our network this offseason. So we're looking forward to that out of Michael from the campus of you pronounce it here for us.
Quinnipiac University. Yeah. Going to be a deep dive into the 2022 prospects, make sure everyone knows who's coming out in this draft and what to know about them. So I do it every year, take a deep film dive. So I'm going to put it to the test with podcasts this year. So
That'll be awesome. Like I said, this is my first year of Debbie, so I enjoyed getting my feet wet anyway.
So where are we – if we're not trusting Jarrett Patterson, where are we saving some money at the running back position?
Oh, boy. I'll be honest with you. With me going Lance, I didn't really save so much money on running back, but one guy I did like was Chase Edmonds at 5,700. He made a lot of sense to me. And they're still undervaluing Sonny Michel to me as well.
Yeah, that's a good play. I tend to lean the same way where I'm lining up Trey Lance in every league because I value that versatility over the ownership. And lining him up means I can pay a little bit more. I like Rashad Penny this week at 6,100, $22 on Yahoo DFS. I think that's a good – or 22 on Yahoo DFS. I think he's a good play against Detroit this week. I think his dynasty value is either going to shoot up or crater after this week. Like, the impression he's made has been so strong. But, like, going three games to one bad game will do a lot versus 2-2. So, this is a make-or-break week for Rashad Penny in the offseason. I'm all in. I'm all in for him right now.
Yeah, his biggest problem has always just been the ability to stay healthy. He's definitely got the talent.
For sure. What are we looking at in terms of wide receivers?
Wide receivers, I'm kind of – once again, I don't have to go exceedingly cheap this week, But I don't mind Brandon Cooks coming back from the COVID situation. Another guy I have is Antonio Brown. Mike Evans is slated to play, but that being said, he's exceedingly limited. I heard y'all talking about Gronk a few minutes ago, but it's all about just opportunity this week. And I don't know, Tyler Johnson did absolutely nothing, but if you really wanted to last week, but if you wanted to go with a complete dart throw, he's a lot cheaper. I mean, I'm assuming Brady will get his, but the other thing that could happen in that, they're almost a 2-touchdown favorite. So it could be an early first half, get on top, and then just use a running game. And a guy, I mean, I know Ronald Jones, everybody's talking about him. And this is going to be the ugliest name you'll hear all week. But Keyshawn Vaughn could get 10-plus carries. So you never can tell.
Listen, the nice or interesting thing about Tampa is that Ronald Jones is one mistake away from Keyshawn Vaughn getting a three-down roll, where if Ronald Jones fumbles that ball like he likes to do, if he drops that, lifts some protection, things that he loves to do, like waking up and making breakfast, it's going to be Keyshawn Vaughn. Keyshawn Vaughn will step in straight there. Arians will sit Ronald Jones for that game. So Keyshawn Vaughn is a nice understudy type of play where he ripped one off last week. He played well. He looked good.
And there was a game against the Lions. It seemed like it was towards the end of last season. He actually got 15 carries, I think it was. And he had a nice game. So I'm a little biased. He went to Vanderbilt. I graduated from Vanderbilt. So, you know, I'm a little.
So, Coley, where are you looking at defensively this week?
Defensively, I'm going cheap, where Chicago lines up against the Giants. It's a $12 play on Yahoo, on DraftKings. It's a little bit higher owned, but it's still just $3,200. So it's a nice, safe, cheap play where I think that playing against Mike Glennon and Jake Fromm is a attractive matchup for my Week 17 hopes. I also like the Rams as an understudy type of play. Some, you know, you don't think Baltimore is a nice target, but Baltimore hasn't been what we thought they would be of late. And I think Seattle's a good play against Detroit as well.
For basement bargain, I don't mind the Giants at 2,500. The Bears haven't been offensively just dynamic, so I don't mind that for cheap. And the Dolphins are pretty good at 28, so.
I feel out of place with no Todd Gurley gear.
Yeah, I miss Todd Gurley.
What are you? Is that who you're wearing right now?
Oh, you don't really want to know who I'm wearing.
Oh, absolutely do.
No, you don't.
Steven Jackson?
No, it's a guy that let me give you two hints, and I don't really want to discuss his name on air. So he graduated from Vanderbilt, and he's been in the news recently for something I'm totally embarrassed about.
Gotcha. Okay.
Y'all know who that is, I think, without any more clues, right?
Yes, we will not talk about.
Well, yeah. I do have a Todd Gurley jersey right up there behind me. And my first championship in fantasy football came courtesy of Gurley's monster year. So I immediately went out, had to reward the man. That's to my day one of my most valued players.
That's why this puppy exists. Jamal Charles right here.
Those are two of my favorite players, actually. Gurley and Charles both. They were just great for fantasy. But, yeah, my first two jerseys were both for Vanderbilt players. And then my most recent is Deontay. So.
And this would be a great spot to mention that, you know, if your favorite player wins you that championship, look into their charity. Every NFL player has the charity. It's a very popular thing for fantasy football players to do, where if you have if Davante Adams drops 30 points and wins you that championship, you go to donate to his program. I know he has a cirrhosis, fibrosis. I'm butchering that name, but I donated to his charity last year. It's something where, you know, reward the players that rewarded you. You know, they're doing good things with their work. So look into them. Okay. Every NFL player has a charity.
That's an awesome idea. I know. Who is Travis Kelce involved with? I know he's big and one.
He has his own charity. It's called 87 and Running. It's for underserved youth. One of the good ways to find out what charity to donate to, go ahead and check out the My Claws, My Cleats list. It'll actually list what what charity they wore cleats for. And so that's a good start to figure out where you're donating to this year. I would also encourage people to check out like Jeff Dickerson's GoFundMe page. I know they've raised a ton of money, but this is a kid who's 11 years old and an orphan. So maybe it may be split what you're going to donate between your favorite player and that charity. I think that's a good cause. So we're all about good causes for fantasy's sake.
It really was. I was really grateful to be in that this year. So
Lamar Jackson's officially out. So not to get off of that subject, but no Lamar Jackson today. So Coley dropped that here.
Yep, that's official. So Lamar Jackson's out, which means that ankle injury must really be bothering him because they desperately miss him. And you saw him practice this week. He tried lining up on Wednesday, wasn't practicing on Thursday. He was practicing with them on Wednesday, so he's just not right. So you're going to see Tyler Huntley out there. I don't think they're going to line up Josh Johnson again. So it'll be Tyler Huntley against the Bengals or against the Rams. That's a tough matchup. Again, I think the Rams are a good play this week. I think Tyler Huntley could work in a pinch, maybe in those super flex DFS, maybe a DFS play just because of that rushing volume. And Tyler Huntley's played well this year, but you're asking a lot for him against Aaron Donald.
Yeah. He had that big game against Green Bay. I don't see a repeat performance today because of matchup. So.
All yeah. right. Well, and you're still playing Mark Andrews, and you're playing. Oh, sorry. You're playing Mark Andrews. I'm not entirely sure about how excited I am for Marquise Brown, though. DG, with us, or does Snow get you? Brian, can you hear me? I just want to make sure that
I can.
Okay, so looks like DG might have got smacked by the snow. I know he has, you know, a whole bunch of them outside. So
here he comes. Looks better.
There we go. Our savior, Doug, comes in.
Yeah. All right. Evidently, he's decided to freeze on us. So, oh, now he's. I can see you grinning over there. Don't try and pull your poker face on me. All right. Do you want me to do the commercials, Mr. Frozen?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Did you bounce off and come back?
Yeah, that sounds good, Brian. Thanks for joining us.
All right.
Hang on. What time is it? I don't even know what break we're on. Break two. All right, here we go. Located in the Belgian neighborhood of 7th Street in Moline, Clint's Draft House Pizza and Grill is home to some of the Quad City's best food and drink specials. On Sundays, there's no better place to be. Clint's is serving up 75-cent wings and $4 Bloody Marys all day. And your favorite team playing in those out-of-market games? You'll never miss a second of the action on one of their 10 screens with NFL Sunday Ticket. And after you've had your wing and bloody fix, finish off your football watching experience with one of their famous Quad City style pizzas. And folks, they know pizza. They've been spinning QC style pies for the last 22 years. So make Clint's part of your Sunday football routine. Clint's Draft House Pizza and Grill, 7th Street in Moline. And who doesn't need a solid handcuff on their fantasy squad? Grab a bite to eat at Clint's Draft House while watching the noon games and then head on over across the Moline Rock Island border to the corner tap for some libations during the 3 o'clock games. Every Sunday is fun day at the corner with $3 tall boys, Bloody Marys, Jack Daniels, and $2 PBR drafts. Head to the corner tap, 4018 14th Avenue, Rock Island, and get into the end zone. And DJ wants me to say back to you, Deej, with a question mark.
Oh, you're no fun.
Nope. Sure ain't. All right. What are we doing? Where are we at? What are we doing? We're talking running backs. All right. Let's see who's up first. Let's start with a name I can't say. Dare Ogunbowale.
Ogunbowale.
Yeah, him too.
Yeah, he's for everyone that doesn't know who he is, he's on Jacksonville. He had some starting moments last year when James Robinson missed some time, and you know, he's just a guy, but he is just a guy in Jacksonville right now. He is the guy in Jacksonville right now with Carlos Hyde injured, with James Robinson out with that unfortunate Achilles injury. So, I mean, it's Gumball is the last man standing. Now, the question is, Deej, does that matter against New England?
I don't know that it matters, and I don't know that I'm trusting him. He's going to win somebody out there fantasy championship. And the question is do you want it to be you with him in your lineup or your opponent with him in your lineup?
That sounds like you should play him, Deej.
No. I'm asking, do you want to play Darya Gumbawale and win the championship, or possibly play Darya Gumbawale and your opponent to win because you've had Darya Gumbawale? And I mean, personally, like, I have him in a league where I just don't know what to do with him this week. And I've seen most places he's sitting in that RB3-4 range. So maybe a flex play. If you don't have anything better, but especially against the Patriots, I'm just having a hard time trusting that guy with the bag on the line.
Yeah, you're asking Jacksonville with Trevor Lawrence as a rookie who has really struggled this year. You know, I'm hoping for a much better output next year, but has really struggled. This entire Jacksonville team has struggled, and you're asking them to go from the sunny shores of Jacksonville to the deep, dark waters and weather of New England in January. So I'm not that excited for Darya Gumbawale. I'm not trying to play him. I think it's a bit of a trap for anyone that is. This week I've been pestered if my friend should play Saquon Barkley against Chicago or should play Darya Gumbawale against New England. And I'm locked in Saquon there. And Saquon hasn't been successful, and it's something we never thought we would even say in August. So Darya Gumbawale, I think you'd be he's an RB4 for me. So I'm trying not to play him. It's week 17. There's COVID, there's injuries. You might not have a choice. But unless he touches like six dump downs, which I don't think he will, I don't think he's gonna provide for your team.
Yeah, I think that's a very good take. Fantasy Pros, our friends over at Fantasy Pros have him as RB27 and flex option number 78. So
yeah, I'm just not that excited for him because he's not that good of a rusher. He turned 17 carries into 57 yards. Yeah, he got in the end zone, but are you counting on that for back-to-back weeks? It's the four targets that is the only interesting thing of whether that can continue next week. But I mean, you're relying on targets here, and I don't know if I can count on that from Darya Gumbawale.
I think one of the biggest things is when we have a player like Gumbawale, the starter goes down, we're able to get him off the waiver wire. Going into championship week, we're always going to overthink that situation.
Yep, that's exactly right. He is the exact example of the hot hand that you picked up, and all of a sudden now he has a three down roll apparently, and you think that's valuable, but it's not always valuable. You could ask several teams this year where their starting running back has not produced, and especially in tough matchups. So I think you have to take every situation like water, and you picked him up. Doesn't mean it was a wrong pickup, but you don't have to play him.
I think it's that situation like I talked about earlier with picking up Lance. It's better to have a guy blow up on your bench than in your opponent's lineup. So,
yep. Absolutely. Man, this could have been Travis Etienne. What a shame. Ethan is going to be one of my biggest dynasty plays this offseason for a heads.
Completely agree. All right. So next up, are you firing up DeAndre Swift?
Everything for this season, there's been a trend where running backs come back from injury when they're right, when they're active, when they come back, they get the rock because teams aren't risking their stars for when they're not right. They haven't been, except for Antonio Gibson early in the year, and eventually got right. Antonio Gibson's been good. So I think you've seen enough data where running backs come back from injuries are used, and when they're used with that level of talent, they're good fantasy options. Deuce Staley, the running backs coach in Detroit, suggested that they're not taking a conservative approach with him. That's according to the Detroit News, Justin Rogers. So shout out for that scoop. But it's I mean, it's Detroit. It's Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell is not the guy that's going to go light in week 17 just because the season's over. He's going to expect his players to fight, and that's going to involve using DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, I think that I'm willing to fire up Swift for those exact reasons. He's definitely going to be they're not activating him not to give him the ball. I think if I was a coach, I probably would not be playing DeAndre Swift. But as a fantasy manager, if his coach is playing him, I'm playing him too.
Yeah. I'm treating DeAndre Swift as if he was never injured. I'm treating him exactly how I would have before the injury. It's against Seattle. That's a plus matchup. You know, Seattle is not very impressive as a team, especially defensively. So DeAndre Swift is set for a nice week this week. I'd be happy to play him.
Is there what are you expecting out of him if you're playing him?
I'm expecting 12. Back end RB1 production.
Sorry. You what?
Sorry, yeah, you broke up a little there, but I imagine you asked about expectations. I am expecting back end RB1 numbers, DeAndre Swift, kind of what he was doing, where I'm expecting 5 receptions. I'm expecting, you know, upwards of 80 yards, and maybe he gets in the score. You know, if he scores, then you're hoping for a top 8 production. If not, then he's a safe top 15 play just because of that pass catching volume. So I do still think Seattle wins this game, but I think it's a close one, and I don't think it's a blowout by any stretch. Seattle's not in a position to blow someone out. So I think this game's going to be carried by the running games of Rashad Penny and DeAndre Swift.
It's a fair take.
All right, and then last but certainly not least, according to DJ, Dalvin is a must start. What are you looking for out of him? Really? He's a must start?
I don't think you're sitting the guy you took in the first round. If he's playing, you're playing him. I don't think there's any scenario that you're sitting him just because Sean Mannion's the quarterback.
Wait, I want to dispute that fact.
Ooh.
This is my whole role here, is to dispute DJ's. So I saw on Twitter yesterday, and I can't remember which lady it was, but it was one of – I can't remember who it was, but I do remember seeing somebody that said, don't play Justin Jefferson tomorrow because of the fact that they're starting Sean Mannion, and it is going to be like 5 degrees in Green Bay. So based upon that logic, which I actually found to be quite refreshing, using logic instead of whatever it is that we do on this show, what is your thoughts on that?
On Jefferson?
Yeah, give me your thoughts on Jefferson and how they apply and applying that same thinking to Dalvin.
I mean, I think Dalvin will get more touches based on the fact that Mannion's at quarterback. However, there will be more stacked boxes. I won't be that surprised with feeling out or with Cook just coming back from COVID. That was a Jefferson thought. With Cook just coming back from COVID, if we see a little bit more of Alexander Mattison, but I think there's enough touches to go around with Mannion as quarterback that Cook's going to have a solid game. I do think that I do kind of look at what Alvin Kamara did 2 weeks ago with Ian, or last week with Ian Book at quarterback, as kind of a sign of what might happen with, and that was a light game for Kamara, if I remember right. It was like a 7.5 point game. So I do see that could be a result for Cook. But I can't see, you weren't benching Alvin Kamara because Ian Book was quarterback. You're not benching Dalvin Cook because Sean Mannion's quarterback.
I guess the argument would be that, you know, you should have benched Alvin Kamara just because.
Yeah, probably.
But I mean, I all that said, I'm playing Dalvin Cook. Sean Mannion's not good, but I do expect him to, you know, I don't think he's Ian Book bad. I think Ian Book was just a undrafted rookie that if he it was charted, he held the ball longer than any other QB this season in terms of rate per throw. So that did help out there. Sean Mannion's not good, but you know, I the offensive line is better in Minnesota than it was last week with the COVID injuries in or the COVID outs in New Orleans. And I am expecting enough volume from Justin Jefferson that I'm still lining him up out there. I threw a Twitter thread up a couple of days ago about it. I'm playing Justin Jefferson over Keenan Allen. I'm still playing him over over Hunter Renfro and a PPR stud like that. He's right in between with Jamar Chase for me. So it's just different plays where his ceiling is lower this week. His floor is a little bit lower this week, but he's still Justin Jefferson. He still demands targets. And Dalvin Cook, I view the same.
Do you think that, I mean, Cook's definitely involved in the pass game with out of the backfield, but do you think Minnesota with Sean Mannion scores enough points to keep it viable for Cook to have a big game on the ground?
You broke up a little bit there, so I kind of missed some of that.
Do you think Minnesota with Mannion scores enough points to make Cook viable on the ground?
Yes. I do think Dalvin Cook gets it done on the ground, and I do think that regardless of Sean Mannion, Dalvin Cook's going to get the rock. I don't think they can totally stack the box. I don't think you can totally stack the box against Justin Jefferson. I think you're going to lead single coverage type of things. I mean, KJ Osborne's still a capable threat of, you know, out of the slot. So I think that it's going to be more stacked boxing than normal, but Dalvin Cook, I'm still lining up as a top 15 RB play. Doesn't make him a must start, I suppose, but it's tough for me to bench a guy like Dalvin Cook when I know he's going to get the volume.
Yeah.
Volume is king. And it helps to have some talent too.
We wouldn't know anything about that here. All right. That'll take us to the end of this segment. DJ will read some commercials, and then we will continue on with this lovely wide receiver chatter on the other side.
Durham Remodeling has been serving the Quad Cities area since 1973. With nearly 50 years of excellence on their track record, you'll see why it's so easy to trust their experts when it comes to all your home improvement projects. Durham Remodeling's work is 100% guaranteed, so you can rest assured that you're getting the best service around. Call 309-786-6715 for all your roofing, siding, flooring, windows, and painting needs. That's Durham Remodeling, 309-786-6715. It's Sunday fun day over at Frick's Tap. Iowa's second oldest bar is guaranteed to have your favorite team on one of their 13 TV screens with NFL Sunday Ticket. Get on into Frick's now, where they will be joined by Smoked Out Smokehouse every Sunday. And boy, does that menu look great. Barbecue smoked ribs, pork chops, wings, you name it, you can get it during your football game over at Frick's. So for Frick's sake, head into Frick's Tap, 1402 West 3rd Street, Davenport.
All right, so welcome back. Not that we went anywhere, but we'll say welcome back anyway. It's 2022. There are no rules anymore. We're just making crap up as we go.
We're making the rules. It's a new year, new rules. You know, exactly. Doug's rules.
All right. So this one interests me. Do you think Amon-Ra St. Brown is a league winner?
I'll tell you, if he wins a league this week, he would be a league winner. But not to be a smartass.
Big, if true.
Yeah, I mean, he fits it to a T, where he's a guy that came on at the end of the season. Week 13 on, he's put up double-digit fantasy points in each and every game. He's seen 11 targets or more in each of those games. And if he gets it done again, if that trend continues, that's 5 weeks of stellar production in the fantasy playoffs and the weeks leading up to it. So for me, everyone has a different definition, but that is the core definition of a fantasy league winner, where it depends on your team, but if you were that 5, 6, 7, 8 spot in week 13, you pick him up, you're in the playoffs. And now he's winning you weeks in the playoffs. So Amon-Ra is a fantastic play. A lot of it is last man standing, but I do like Amon-Ra as a player.
Really, in Detroit, there was no first man standing. It was just.
I mean, DeAndre
Swift, TJ Hawkinson, they deserve some respect.
Is it Tim Allen from like the Detroit area? That's kind of his show, right?
Yes. What does that have to do with anything?
We were making a last man standing joke in Detroit. Never mind. Just never mind.
Oh, okay. I'm old. I still think of him as Home Improvement.
Out of pure percentage wise, yes, Amon-Ra St. Brown wins the fantasy championship this week. Pure percentages. Also enjoyed him at Night at the Museum too.
I'm playing him in almost every situation, to be honest. Where Seattle is such a gorgeous play, and this is full PPR formats, mind you. Where you know I'm not. He scored 3 touchdowns in 4 weeks. I'm not banking on that happening on a continual basis. It's Detroit. I'm not. Touchdowns are notoriously fluky, but 11 targets, 8 receptions every single week is not. That's something that you earn as a receiver. And he might be the last man standing, but he's efficient with it because he's a good player. Dan Campbell likes him because he was a perfect fit for this team. Like, as someone who scouted him extensively, like, this is a receiver that loves to block. This is a receiver that loves to give effort. It is exactly what a Detroit Lion is for Dan Campbell's Detroit Lions. So I think it makes sense that he's featured in this way. And I am very excited on Amon-Ra. I had him as my wide receiver 6 in this class. Ahead of Kadarius Toney and players like that.
When you say in full point PPR, does anybody but Bo Elam play in non-PPR formats anymore?
I have to still say it because I don't – I mean, he'll play in half, and sometimes it can be confusing, I guess. But, like, I have a league or two with half PPR, and if people play in standard, I genuinely would love to ask why because I haven't played in a standard league since –
standard, like, not fractional.
Non-fractional. Non-fractional is I draw the line there. Now that's an issue for me because if every yard should count, every yard should count.
It's like
a yard is a yard no matter how small.
I'm pretty sure every yard is 3 feet, but
this is this is the factoid that we need in our week 17 championships. Every yard is indeed 3 feet. So, I'm great.
All right. Are we expecting, on the flip side of the field then, are we expecting DK Metcalf to finally break out? He got a touchdown early against the Bears last week and then didn't do diddly poo after that. And the announcers were lamenting the fact that he had been kind of quiet here the last few weeks. So do you think he finally comes to life this week?
No, I don't. And I'm a notorious DK doubter, but I've been saying since week 14 that you cannot trust DK Metcalf. Between the way Russell Wilson's playing and between DK, I don't think DK is right. Like, he's been practicing. He's, you know, returned to a full practice on Thursday, but he's been managing a foot injury since week 4, and that's really when you started to see him start to slip off. Was, you know, after week five, he's put up 2 games of over 15 points for fantasy football, and that's just not getting it done. And the touchdowns have totally shored up. He scored 5, 6, 7, 8 touchdowns in the first 8 weeks of the season. He scored 1 since then, and that was last week against Chicago. So Detroit's a good matchup. You know, I imagine most owners are going to line them up there, but I'm not expecting much because he hasn't done it. I don't think he's right, and Russell Wilson's not playing well right now.
Are you working on a dance routine this week?
Is that for me or Deej? Because I think either of us can rock the tap shoes.
You.
I am not. No.
Because that's the second time that you said 5, 6, 7, 8.
You know what? You know what? You got me. You got me. All right. I'm trying to win a fantasy football championship. And when I win a fantasy football championship, I will dance to the moon. All right. And I will dance. It'll be out there. It'll be whatever.
I want video of this. I'm going to need this on your Instagram, your TikTok, your Twitter.
I do not have a TikTok, but if I win, I will put something out there. All right. Okay. But that's up to my players to decide.
Are you old enough to know who to do the Carlton? Are you old enough to know what that is?
I do know the Carlton, yeah.
Okay. Just check.
Doug, I think the new craze is doing the jerk.
Oh, okay. I'll find a TikTok dance for him to do.
I totally lost where we even were. DK Metcalf, DK Metcalf things. You know, can't trust Seattle right now. I'm not trusting DK Metcalf the same way. I'm not sure what other options I have where I'd play him, but I'd play Amon-Ra over him. I'll tell you that.
Can't win with them. Can't play with them.
Well, I mean, he's a deep threat.
What about Tyler Lockett? He's also been kind of non-existent since Russ's return. How do you feel about him?
I mean, yeah, Lockett's been what we kind of expected him to be before the season, where it was really fluky, hit or miss. And, you know, he had a good stretch from week 11 to week 14 where he was putting up double-digit fantasy points in each week where, you know, the volume wasn't always there, but he's been crazy at stretching the field. And Russell Wilson trusts him, and it didn't get it done last week. I'd play Tyler Lockett over DK Metcalf. I think that's just – at this point, you're playing the option that Russell Wilson has more faith in, and he's always had a better connection with Lockett, where if Wilson can't support two, he's supporting one. And I think that would be Lockett. But, I mean, you know how Lockett works. It's either 2 points, 25. It could be – he could win you this week. He could crush you this week. You have to know what you're getting into with Lockett.
2 points with a 35-yard pass interference draw.
Yeah, that would have been a walk-in touchdown or something. Yeah, wholeheartedly.
DK Metcalf or Brandon Cooks?
Brandon Cooks.
DK Metcalf or Odell Beckham?
God, two players I really don't like, but I actually kind of like Odell this week against Baltimore. I think I'd play Odell. I think I'd play Odell.
DK or DJ Moore?
I'd play DJ Moore. I'm expecting a pretty solid week from DJ Moore at PPR formats with Sam Darnold back.
DK or Terry McLaurin?
DK. Terry McLaurin is a player, as much as I deeply love him, he's not in my lineups this week. Can't play him. He's unplayable to me.
DK or Russell Gage?
Probably Russell Gage. Like, all these things are stuff that, you know, if I said in August, you'd, you know, slap me in the face and probably cut me from the program. But, no, I'd play DK Metcalf. I don't want to overthink it on that one. Mostly Gage against Buffalo isn't exactly the most exciting matchup either. So I guess I'd play DK, but I might play Russell Gage if I think I need a better floor.
All righty. That should just about take us to the top of the hour. I will read the next set of commercials as soon as I find them. And then we will do inactives, which there are a bazillion of them.
I didn't say this last week because I just didn't think about this. The Los Angeles Chargers had no inactives last week. Everybody on their team was either active or on the COVID list.
And then they lost it, you know, to Houston,
which was great for me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Coley, I meant to ask you how'd that Steelers Chiefs game go last week?
I think we're going into break. I really don't want to disrupt the flow of the show. You know, we owe our lovely advertisers that much. So I don't think that game even happened. I think they got postponed to 2027. And I didn't even think the Steelers played last week. I didn't think they played. I didn't think they showed up. So
they didn't.
They clearly did not show up.
They turned the plane around on Saturday night and they're like, listen, we just don't feel like it. It's Christmas. Holidays come first. So, you know, they had other things on their mind.
Fair. Yes. They felt the need to relocate back to Pittsburgh. And then located in the Belgian neighborhood of 7th Street and Moline, Clint's Draft House Pizza and Grill is home to some of the Quad City's best food and drink specials. On Sundays, there's no better place to be. Clint's is serving up 75-cent wings and $4 Bloody Marys all day. And your favorite team playing those out-of-market games, you'll never miss a second of the action on one of their 10 screens with NFL Sunday Ticket. I read this stuff last time I read it. Break. And after you've had your wing and bloody fix, finish your football watching experience off with one of their famous Quad City-style pizzas. And folks, they know pizza. They've been spinning QC-style pies for the last 22 years. So make Clint's part of your Sunday football routine. Clint's Draft House Pizza and Grill, 7th Street in Moline. Who doesn't need a solid handcuff on their fantasy squad? Grab a bite to eat at Clint's Draft House while watching the noon games and then head on over across the Moline-Rock Island border to the Corner Tap for some libations during the 3 o'clock games. Every Sunday is fun day at the Corner with $3 tall boys, Bloody Marys, Jack Daniels, and $2 PBR drafts. Head in the Corner Tap, 4018 14th Avenue, Rock Island, and get into the end zone. Serving the Quad Cities area since 1872, Frick's Tap is almost always, it is always a great choice for your Sunday fun day activities. Iowa's second oldest bar is guaranteed to have your favorite team on one of their 13 TV screens with NFL Sunday Ticket. Get into Frick's now, where they will be joined by Smoked Out Smokehouse every Sunday. And boy, does that menu look great. Barbecue smoked ribs, pork chops, wings, you name it, you can get it during your football game over at Frick's. So for Frick's sakes, head into Frick's, 1402 West 3rd Street in Davenport.
All right.
Already then.
Inactive for the Eagles-Washington game. Miles Sanders, that's a big out for you fantasy championship players this week. No Curtis Samuel. Did Samuel play at all this year, Ciccoli? You're muted.
He's played 5 games this year.
Curtis Samuel's
most of
been
them were not in full capacity. Most of them were half snaps, 30% snaps. So that's probably one of the biggest disappointments this year.
No Montez Sweat, no Garrett Gilbert. Rams-Ravens, no Cam Akers. As Ciccoli mentioned last week, this is probably him being active in order to get him his year on his pension. For the Ravens, as we talked before, no Lamar, no Miles Boykin, which will affect their return game. The Bucs without Richard Sherman, no Justin Watson, no Shaq Barrett, no Jason Pierre-Paul. The Jets are without legend Mike White. They are without LaMichael Perine, and they are without Shaq Lawson and Jamison Crowder. The Dolphins, no Hunter Long, no Salvin Ahmed. The Titans are without nobody really fantasy relevant. Two deep corners, a linebacker, and a defensive lineman. The Jaguars, no Iowa legend Mekhi Sargent, and no James O'Shaughnessy. Patriots, no Jarrett Stidham, no N'Keal Harry. I didn't even know Nelson Aguilar was still on that team. The Raiders, nobody fantasy relevant. The Colts, no Brett Hundley, no Marlon Mack, no Eric Fisher, no Andrew Sendejo, but they will have one Carson Wentz. The Chiefs, no Clyde Edwards-Helaire, no Kyle Long, no DeAndre Baker. The Bengals, no Trevon Williams, no Cam Sample. The Giants, again without Kadarius Toney, no John Ross, no Kylan Johnson. The Bears are without Justin Fields, no Duke Shelley, Elijah Wilkinson, and no J.P. Holtz. The Falcons, no Matt Barkley. Bills are without Emmanuel Sanders and Matt Breida. And that's it for the noon games, thankfully. I'm tired of reading the injured dudes.
That's exactly why you have to tune into the show live, by the way, because as Deej was doing a great job of reading off his inactives, I believe Doug's cat was just strolling across his camera. That just made my morning.
The cat, the only person in the house with more gray hair than me.
Yeah. Oh man, that was solid. That was a good way.
She smelled the coffee. She likes coffee.
Who doesn't?
As we get into week 17, later in the season, we're always kind of keeping an eye on the weather. As those of you in the Quad Cities know, we absolutely got shit on yesterday. There's our explicit tag for the week with snow about a foot of snow? How much snow did we get, Doug? You're the meteorologist.
I am not the meteorologist. A lot. A metric buttload.
That is the technical term where I'm at.
Did you get any snow up there, Sicoli?
We did not. We have not had snow yet. We've had some rain that should be snow, but it's just not cold enough, surprisingly. It was the coldest it was in early November, like early December. It has not sniffed that cold temperature since. I don't know. I don't pretend to understand it.
I blame my wife, who, as we were watching the Bears game last week in Seattle, she's like, that's a lot of snow. Is that coming here? And I go, no, of course not. And then, of course, we get dumped on. So that is completely her fault.
Seattle gets like snow on like 4 days a year. So it's kind of crazy.
But it's always on a football day. It's always on a Sunday or a Monday.
Yeah. I know Miami, Tennessee, they got like the orange watch out for weather tag this morning. It looks like it's going to be decent for them today. I'm getting that pulled up here. Wet, what starts as a cold rain could mix into a wet rain slash snow mix later in the game. Winds are manageable, but the precipitation should make it a bit tougher for offenses to be fired on all cylinders, especially the passing game. So watch out for – this is via at Kevin Roth, WX on Twitter. Precipitation in Nashville, more of an issue in the second half than the first half. Likely dry at kickoff. That's also what she said. Thank you, Doug.
Call him like I see him, bud.
Somebody said that they're very worried being an AJ Brown manager and starter in this game. He's wondering if he should switch out AJ for Elijah Moore, and the advice that Mr. Roth gave. He only recommends fading guys if it's high wind. It's not ideal weather, but they'll still take their shots. As for Detroit, Seattle, good chance for rain, increasingly likely and heavy later in the game, breezy and sustained winds around 15 miles per hour. But as far as Minnesota, Green Bay, the temp will be under 5 degrees. Cold air usually doesn't bother people much, but it's the kind of cold will slow down the passing and kicking games some. And then the Bears game gets the yellow tag. Temps around 20 with 10 to 15 miles per hour winds. Feel like temps in the teens. And as Doug can tell you, and I guess I could confirm here, it's very, as they would say, freaking cold here in Illinois.
Freaking cold, man. Freaking cold.
Other places, cold, but not a big deal. Bucks, Jets could see a shower, but unlikely. Patriots could see a shower, light winds. So,
hopefully after the game, because they'll be smelly otherwise.
Yes. So no,
and you might see some heavy winds in Washington, but nothing to really write home about.
Yeah, it says a spotty shower too is possible. Winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. No major impacts. We should really hire a meteorologist, Doug. That'd be fun.
Sure.
Can we
got money in the budget for that? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you go to meteorology school here? I know a guy, Nick Jansen. Nick Jansen, you on board?
I don't know anybody who is a meteorologist.
So Doug, you do know of a Nick Jansen? He once did not get the ball in the corner against Rocky when he played for UT. You were covering that game.
I do not remember this, but that was a long time ago, and I am an old man.
You are an old man.
I am. I will be 45 before the Super Bowl hits.
Hey, we got to celebrate.
Yes.
Let's not say we did. Nobody really likes Doug that much.
Yeah, that's true. Not even my wife.
So, Doug, I canceled the last commercial break, so we can go right into questions if you'd like.
Yes, I saw that you canceled the last commercial break. It says no break here. Fine, that's we will go into the questions as you continue to type them in.
We just got a new one. Calm your chat.
Some year, we're going to do – you're going to type the questions in. I'm going to see if I can beat you to the bottom. If you can – if I can ask them faster than you can type them. All right. Our own Tim Corwin wants to know, do you want Chicago's DST or Miami's DST?
Chicago.
I'm going Miami.
I would go Chicago.
Who's Miami playing this week?
Tennessee.
Yeah, give me Chicago. All right, pick a flex. I like that term. Amon-Ra St. Brown, DeAndre Swift, or Sony Michel?
I'm going Swift. If he's playing, he must be healthy.
I'm playing DeAndre Swift. I like I said, I'm treating him like the player he was before the injury.
Fair enough. Jacob Howard wants to know Dalvin Cook, Brandon Cooks, Derek Gore, or Michael Carter?
Pick one.
Dalvin.
If that's pick one, man, if you're throwing Derek Gore on the same line with Dalvin Cook, if I heard that right, then that is some week 17 overthinking right there.
Yeah.
But I'll play some Dalvin Cook.
Like, I could give you Dalvin or Brandon Cooks. I could see where you might want to
make
that bump. The last two, yeah. All right. Cousin Bo in the TD Heavy League. Wentz or Lance?
Lance, because of the running.
Lance.
Okay. And then Elijah Mitchell or Damian Harris?
Whew. What time do the Patriots play today?
They're nooner.
I think you got to go ahead and take Patriots the safe play with Harris.
What'd you say?
I'm going Harris because it's 12 o'clock. Mitchell's later.
Yeah, and so. I'm expecting Elijah Mitchell to play. I think that's all what reports indicate. But I will play Damian Harris on the Jacksonville matchup rather than risk the health of Elijah Mitchell on my championship.
Agreed.
Yep. All right. Yeah, Boa Byron on Twitter. Pick two of Russell Gage, Jacoby Myers, Michael Gallup, Jarrett Patterson, and Dare Ogunwale. Gesundheit. Gesundheit.
Who was the first two?
Russell Gage and Jacoby Myers.
I'll go with them.
Agreed.
Yeah. That's where I land as well.
I gotta go Myers Gallup just to be funny. All right. Renee K10 on Twitter asks, pick three of Austin Eckler, David Montgomery, Ronald Jones, or Najee Harris.
I'll say Ronald Jones.
Same.
And I'll say Ronald Jones as well. And the reason for that, good matchup and all, but he makes one mistake, he's pulled. So That's a floor that I don't want to mess with.
Agreed.
And then Dawson Knox or Zach Ertz?
I'll go Knox. Ertz.
Same.
I'll go Knox.
Clear as mud. Alrighty. And then from my own Twitter account, we'll sneak this one in from our main man, Craig DeVries. He says, Burrow, no. Kyler Murray, yes? Question mark.
Yes.
Man, I want to say Joe Burrow so badly here. And I'm not going to. I'm going to say Kyler Murray just for that rushing volume.
I'm going to go Burrow just because he's going up against the 27th ranked defense against the pass.
That is fair. All right. Who's Nick Audette on Twitter wants to know, Schultz or Gerald Everett?
I love Everett as a sleeper, but I'll still go Schultz.
Schultz.
Yep, I second everything there.
All right, and then for flex, MVS, Jacoby Myers, Tony Pollard, or Dare Ogunwale?
I'll go MVS. Well, I don't know. The weather's pretty bad. Repeat Tony those Pollard's again.
MVS, Jacoby Myers, Tony Pollard, or Ogunwale?
I'm going to go Pollard.
Pollard.
Yeah, I'm locking in Pollard there.
Yep. Karsten Linneman. Where'd you find all these new people at this week?
Karsten's actually in my league. I tossed some of them into some of my dynasties, so I know Karsten at least. The rest of them, I'm not sure.
Okay. Say, we've got a whole bunch of new names this
Happy
week.
To have them, though.
Oh, yes, yeah. Absolutely. Half-point PPR, speaking of people who play half-point PPRs, Byron Pringle, Adam Humphreys, or Nico Collins?
I'm going to go Nico Collins.
Nico Collins.
I go Nico Collins because he's the guy who might score a touchdown. And for context, to the, he said he lost Hopkins, Godwin, and Judy.
Ouch. No wonder he's
desperate. As a side question, do y'all think Cooks plays his full role today?
I would expect him to. In terms of being off the COVID list, a couple in advance, it's COVID, it's on the injury. I think he's going to get his normal amount of snaps. I haven't seen anything suggest otherwise.
All righty. And then Jordan Rangel's list of questions. All right. First up, pick one of A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf, or Antonio Brown, currently up 48 points in a two-week championship.
I go with the guy at the highest floor here, which I think might be AB.
Yeah, I play Antonio Brown.
I want. That's fine. Yeah, I'll go Antonio Brown too because of floor.
Yeah. All right. Pick your Jones, Ronald, or Aaron.
Aaron.
Up Aaron Jones, but I'm worried about Aaron Jones this week. I'm a little bit worried just because I feel like that game could get out of hand pretty early. And it could be similar to what we saw a couple weeks ago where he scored two touchdowns on seven touches, but, you know, that's all he saw.
We answered this earlier, but we'll ask it again. Dak or Burrow?
Dak.
Dak's fine, yeah.
Yeah, Dak. All right. Pick one of Cole Beasley, Cortland Sutton, or Darwe Ogunbowale. Is Beasley out of his COVID nest?
Yes. Yes, okay. He is.
I feel like Darwe Ogunbowale just exists because he Doug can't say it.
I cannot say it.
I am really enjoying hearing you try it each and every time for one of these questions because obviously that's the one that everyone's asking this week. I think I'd play Cortland Sutton over Darwin and Bois.
Yes, I would go Sutton there as well. It doesn't also help the fact that Deej has spelled it every different way every time that it's appeared on here. So I'm guessing as to the pronunciation based upon spelling. All right, pick two of Dalvin, Zeke, Damian Harris, Rashad Penny.
I'm going to sit Penny.
I'm going to take Dalvin and Zeke.
I'm going to probably take Dalvin and Zeke. I do really like Rashad Penny this week, though, and I really want to get him in there. I might bench Zeke for.
I can't answer that question because that's against me. So,
I think I'd bench Zeke for Rashad Penny. I understand if someone doesn't trust me on that one, but I do think I would do that.
All right, Tannehill or Huntley?
Gross.
Tannehill or who?
Huntley.
Oh, that is gross. I guess I'll go Huntley just because of the running.
Yeah, I'll go Huntley. Ryan Tannehill hasn't scored 20 fantasy points since week 8.
He's been awful.
Yeah, I mean, the weapons have really not helped him much this year, but he has not looked well either.
All right. Russell Wilson or Trey Lance?
I'm going to go Trey Lance.
Yeah, I'm playing Trey Lance.
Right. Yep.
Pat Freiermuth or Foster Moreau?
I'm going to go Pat on this one.
Put some respect on Pat Freiermuth's name. Pat Freiermuth. Lock it in.
Pat Freiermuth. All right. Pick one of Jordan Howard, Boston Scott, or Jarrett Patterson.
I'm Boston Scott.
I tend to lean with Boston Scott as well. It's all murky situations all around for all three of those guys, but I'll take the guy that has the pass catching possibility.
Agreed.
All right. Feces1911 on Twitter. Pick two of Chubb, Penny, Edmonds, Ogunbowale, and Jarrett Patterson.
I'm Chubb, Penny, and Edmonds.
Chubb and Penny for me.
Chubb and Penny.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed Chubb. I'll go Chubb and Edmonds. Excuse me.
I was like, man, going out on a limb, not taking – Brian's not taking Chubb.
Yeah, like, exactly.
I was like, that's bold.
That's too bold.
All right. Dan Falk wants to know, Taysom Hill or Trey Lance?
Lance.
Trey Lance for me.
Yeah.
I'll play Trey Lance.
All right. And then pick two of the flex of DJ Moore, Russell Gage, Jordan Howard, Rex Burkhead, Cortland Sutton, and Darre Ogunbowale. Did this person even ask about Darre, or are you just putting his name in just because now, Deej?
The first two.
Same here.
Yeah. 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 That's a lot of names. But I'll go.
I was going to say more in Sutton for me, but that's. All right. That takes us to the end of said questions, unless DJ wants to try and get me to say Ogunbowale one more time.
I'm glad you're saying it, not me.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going there actually today. So.
We have some breaking news. Not quite fantasy football, but Bruce Arians ruptured his Achilles. He's been trying to keep it under wraps, but aggravated it last week, per Jay Glazer.
Dang. Wow.
Or Bruce Arians.
He was going to be a backup receiver, too.
Yeah. No, at least a tight end. I mean, probably taught O.J. Howard all he knew.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's too a bad shame. Right. How's the second Marlon Mack, you know?
All righty. So here we go for the rapid fires. First up, Travis Kelce over under 69.5. Nice. Receiving yards.
Over.
Over.
Under over. Just to piss off DJ. All right. Kyler Murray over under 256.5 passing yards.
I'm going to go under.
I'll take under. I don't think he needs it.
Yeah, I feel like I'm feeling over. I don't know why. All right. Matthew Stafford over under 287.5.
What was that total again?
287.5.
Oh, that's high. I'm going to go slightly under.
Well, Cooper Kupp can't have 300 yards receiving if Matthew Stafford doesn't have 287.5 passing yards. So over.
Burrow threw for 550. I'll say Burrow for Stafford throws for 300. So over.
I'm going to go under. All right. Jalen Waddle over under 70.5 receiving yards.
I'll go over.
Over. He's in his groove.
I will take the under. Top quarterback for the week.
I'm going to go Dak.
I'll go Josh Allen.
Jalen Hurts.
Whew.
All right. So all over the place. All right. Speaking of Jalen Hurts, 244.5 total yards over or under.
Over.
I will take the over.
Over.
Under.
Ronald Jones over under 70.5 rushing yards.
Under.
Under.
Does he fumble on yard 72 or yard 68? Ah, man. I'll say over.
Ryan Tannehill over under 220.5 passing yards.
Ugh. I'll go over just because he has to.
Yeah.
Eventually.
I'll go under. I really want him to, but I just don't think it's happening.
Yeah, I'll take the over. All right. Marvin Jones over under 40.5 receiving yards.
I'll go under.
Under.
I'll go that's over.
Number. I'll take the over.
I'll go over just barely, though.
All right. Top seven, week 17 running back.
Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, it's hard to pick against him.
Who?
Pick Chubb.
I was going to pick Chubb just to make you feel bad.
I the Steelers, their season ended in week 15. I'm not sure what games you guys are even referring to. But Chubb has a nice matchup against them this week.
All right. Mike Glennon over under 195 and a half passing yards. That's under.
That's under too. Yeah.
All Mike Glennon lines are the under.
Exactly. Under. Even if you're wrong, you know you're right. So
unless it's his neck measurement and then take the over.
Yeah.
Kyle Pitts over under 47 and a half receiving yards.
He's over.
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 Over. Not by much though.
Debo over under 70 and a half total yards.
Over.
Over.
Be a lot of drag, so.
Yeah, I'm going to take the over. Austin Eckler over under 57 and a half rushing yards.
I'll go under.
I'll say over. It's not that high of a number for me.
Yeah, I'll say over. It'd be like 60 or 65. Mm-hmm. All right. Top wide receiver this week.
After last week, I'm going to say Tyreek.
Yep, Tyreek.
Yeah, I'll go Tyreek.
Give me Stephon Diggs. DJ Moore over under 55 and a half receiving yards.
I'm going to go over.
I'll say over.
I'll take the over as well. DeAndre Swift over under 47 and a half rushing yards.
Over.
I'll take under.
All right. Top 17. Top week 17 tight end.
Kittle.
Kelsey.
Kelsey's going to have a monster week.
Sure. Why not? Give me Kittle, I guess. I don't know. Dalvin Cook over under 80 and a half rushing yards.
He'll go under.
Under.
I'll take under, yeah. So right. Exciting with the three unders always.
All right. Big Ben, over under 235 and a half passing yards.
I'll let y'all go first. I'm a Steelers fan, so.
As am I. I think over last game at Heinz Field, I think he's gonna give everything he's got on Monday, man.
And against the Browns, over.
Yeah, I'm going over.
It's fitting.
Sure. Who performs better in their final home game probably ever, Big Ben or Matt Nagy?
Oh, that's not even a question.
Stop that. Stop it. This is a Hall of Famer you're talking about. This is a Hall of Fame quarterback you were disrespecting.
I'll say that Big Ben will have a better game than Andy Dalton. How about that?
That's fair.
Big Ben is the answer to that question.
All right. How many times do you tinker with your lineup before games start?
Oh,
this week about 17 times. Thanks to my win over Shane Newbanks.
Typically, I adjust twice. I do it right before bed on Saturday night and then right before lineups lock on Sunday.
I am the exact same way. Yeah, the next 30 minutes are going to be just flip-flop.
Yep. That is what I do as well. Then the big question of the week, is DeMar DeRozan the MVP of the NBA?
No.
If Steph Curry didn't exist, maybe.
Yeah.
I'll go to the field, so I'll say no.
Steph Curry.
No. You wrong. MVP.
For Chicago, right. Definitely.
Favorite moment during the 2021 NFL season?
For me, it's got to be Kelsey's walk-off tutter against the Chargers.
You just put this question in here just so you can say that, didn't you?
No, maybe.
Oh man, I don't remember a happy moment from this season. It kind of just happened. Just COVID.
The fact that I'm on here with two Steelers fans and a Bears fan made me put that question in there.
Yeah, there hasn't been a happy Steelers moment. Chase Claypool scored one touchdown. Najee Harris has like a career long of 30 yards.
I'm
sure I drank too many beers between that favorite moment and now, so I'm gonna pass.
I'll say the Tony Pollard kickoff return touchdown about a month ago was an unbelievable thrill.
Bears drafting Justin Fields. That's about it. maybe that crazy Justin Fields run for the touchdown.
How about that Darnell Mooney touchdown? That long, long touchdown? That
was a fun one. The one where he went laterally like 900 yards? Yeah.
Yeah. Those are fun.
All right. Favorite four fantasy, favorite FFS QC moment in 2021?
Well, I put this question in here every year so I can say I thoroughly enjoy spending every Sunday morning with you folks. So.
Same here, but last week was my favorite moment in terms of my own fantasy. One of the four semifinalists said that the other three were playing for the championship, and I won with basically everybody that was important, like Eckler and Hill, doing nothing. So,
talking of Javonte Williams on the Monday Night Hammer show with me and Nick Grohl, you know, at Run the Sins on Twitter, unbelievable experience, very, very fun to do. And talking of Javonte Williams all season, especially in the second half, was just a godsend for me.
All right. And then lastly, congratulations and good luck to Anthony Keller, Joe Kazmir, Kenny Wheeler, and Jay Foster, the final four in our FFS QC Toys for Tots League.
Yeah, good luck. Good
and
luck,
then Connor. I'm throwing things at DJ.
So one of the things I like to do before we sign off here for the year, I want to thank all of our viewers, everybody who tuned in every Sunday. I know that often, partially because of me, mostly because of Doug, we get off the rails quite often. So I appreciate you guys sticking with us. Everyone who took time to like our page, share our posts, and ask questions each and every week, it's truly that this is, you won't hear this word out of me often. It's truly humbling after 3 years to be over 1,000 likes on Facebook. And we're climbing on Twitter every week. So that's awesome. Our top fans on Facebook, Bo Elam and Jordan Rangel. I want to thank Sicoli's grandma for donating her sweater every week. I want to thank our title sponsor, Mobile Party Experience. I want to thank Tim Cavanaugh and Cavanaugh's Hilltop, Adam Reed and Van's Pizza Pub and Grill, BK Kluger, Clint's Draft House Pizza and Grill, and the Corner Tap, Carl Durham and Durham Remodeling, Adrian Warren and Frick's Tap, our team, Michael Sicoli, Nick Gural, Brian Craighead, Andrew McKay, Sam Odiami, Chris Steele, Phil Foster, and Tim Corwin. Of course, I want to thank Doug and our wives, Joe Green, and my wife, Megan Jarvis. Again, I want to thank Sicoli Sweater. And I would be remiss, we avoided this conversation all week, all day. After 3 years of being the host of For Fantasy Sake, Doug's going to take a little step back, do with more things in the background as we launch the For Fantasy Sake podcast network. So, Doug, I know that this was a half-baked idea when Nate and I came to you 3 years ago. To say, hey, we want to do an every Sunday show. And you said, F it, why not? And, you know, I'm not as broken up as I sound. I have a cold. But I do truly from the bottom of my heart want to thank you, because without you, none of this would have been possible, especially after Nate took the Osimo job. You and I kind of went at it. We built what I like to call the Avengers, mostly thanks to Sicoli jumping on board right away with 2 feet. But I do definitely want to thank you for all that you've done for the show, for the website. You're still going to do probably way more work than anybody else on this thing. Your face won't be on the show every Sunday. So I have to find somebody else to put up with my shit for 2 hours every Sunday, especially changing all the hard work that they do. Throughout the week, but Doug, we really do appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Not a problem.
Deep and meaningful. I second all of it. I couldn't do it, and I couldn't say any better than what DJ said. So, thank you, Doug.
Yeah, you guys are welcome. All right. So, with all the love fest out of the way, that will do it for the 2022 NFL season. So, four Deej for me. First, Akoli and his sweater. Brian looks like he's about to pop back on. For Brian and his lousy internet connection. All right. We will see you guys in the fall.
Yeah, good luck in your championships today. Get some of
these trophies. Or your third place games. Win some money.
Yeah.
Good luck.
See everybody.
Toodles.